Now, please open your Bibles to John, to the book of John, and we are going to read from chapter 8, verses 39 to 47. So that is the book of John, chapter 8, starting at verse 39. If you'd like to have a physical Bible, there are Bibles in the foyer. This part of chapter John 8 in my Bible is titled, "You Are Your Father and You are of your father, the devil." So let's read from John chapter 8, verse 39. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." This is the word of God.
Well, for the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks, we are going to be going through a short series, topical one this time, on lies. And so the series is called The Truth About Lies. And this morning we start with one that looks at the destruction that lies cause. And we're calling today's sermon Words of Venom. Well, let's get into it. The year threes were outside for recess. Sweet Valley Primary was a happy school in a developing suburb with young families. It was a co-ed school with boys and girls from years 1 to 7. The children were playing catch, an everyday playground joy, with squeals of delight as they burned off energy. Innocent fun until that day. One of the boys in the group, Mark, was a bully. He intimidated the other children. He picked fights with the boys to display his dominance. This day, he marched up to one of the girls. She had been caught, and he pulled her panties down. She burst into tears, shamed in front of her friends. Back in class, at the end of recess, her tears continued. The teacher comforting her was told that someone had pulled her panties down. "Who did that, my girl?" the teacher asked. The class was dead silent. Mark was about to face justice for what he had done. Mark, whom everybody knew to be a bully. The little girl looked around the room, and then she said someone's name, but it wasn't Mark. The teacher turned to the boy who had been named, and she chastised him for doing such an ugly thing. He tried to protest, but nobody spoke up. Shame that did not belong to him filled his heart. Now, what I've told you is a true story. And the bully's name is Mark. There's nothing wrong with Marks. So, Brother Mark, it's not you. Not you. The bully's name is Mark. I won't tell you his surname. But I will tell you the falsely accused boy's name and surname. His first name is Craig. His surname is Newell. That happened to me when I was about 8 years old in 1977. That girl was afraid to out Mark because he was a bully and everyone was scared of him. Now, I don't need counseling for this experience. It certainly hurt me back then, but it's not a childhood trauma that affects me to this day. But I wanted to tell you that story to tell you, as we get into the series, how lies are so damaging, and horrible lies can start at such a young age. It's just in people. And then we find them all the way through to sophisticated adult life. What is the joke again about politicians? How can you tell if a politician is lying? His lips are moving. Now, that's a joke, but it comes from people's experience. It reflects what people have often experienced from leaders and politicians on all sides of the political spectrum. The point is that lies are everywhere, and they are poison. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about them, and it's a topical series. We're going to be mostly in John 8 that was read, but also other parts. But let's have a look and think a bit about lies, and particularly how they are poisonous, how they are venomous. Let's first think about, where do lies come from? In the series we've done in Matthew, which we have paused until next year, we saw in that series that Jesus faced astonishing opposition from the religious elite. It's astonishing because all the miracles that he did were great evidence that proved that he was the king from heaven. But the religious leaders refused to believe it. Why not? Well, we saw some reasons why not in the series. But let's see why not from what Jesus says here in John's Gospel in chapter 8. Look at verse 37. We didn't read that. It's just a few verses up from where we read. Jesus says to them, "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you." Effectively, Jesus is saying, yeah, you do belong to the physical family line of God's special people, and yet. In other words, something is wrong. Something's wrong with you. Your actions do not match up with your family lineage. That's what Jesus is saying there. He says, you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. They don't like what Jesus is saying. Well, we ask the question, where do Jesus' words come from? These words that find no place in them. Look at verse 38. Jesus says, I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Jesus is saying that his words come from the Father in heaven. But the religious elite, well, they have a different father. And that is the problem. Physically, Jesus and the religious elite, well, they're all from the same line, Abraham's line. That line which has God the Father over all. But Jesus is saying that they're not really of that line. Yeah, physically they might be, but they're not of that line spiritually. So have a look at verses 39 to 41. Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. Well, who is their father? And what are his works? Well, read on as Jesus describes what they are really like. And as we read on, see how against truth they are. They do not differ with Jesus because they've got some case, some proof that Jesus is wrong, a good case against him. They are just against him because they don't like him. Verse 43. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You know what they are like? They are like children who just don't want truth. When their peer has got something to put to them that proves a point, they just block their ears. Adults can be like that too. They vote the way they do in many cases because their parents always voted that way, and their grandparents before them always voted that way. They are a party man or a party woman no matter what. They cannot be persuaded differently. They are not open to thinking through things. It's just that is how it is. Well, there's something deeply wrong with the religious elite. We're told they cannot bear to hear. It's not about truth. They don't want truth. Now, already, we are getting the picture. These are people who don't care about what is true. But why are they like this? And the answer is because of who they are. Have a look at verse 44. Jesus says to them, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." That is a profound statement, but it's true. Children can often look like their parents and talk like their parents and have mannerisms like their parents. And I'm sure you've heard people say, "You are so much like your dad. You're so much like your mum." On the screen, there's the picture of Tom Hanks and his son. Look how alike the son is to his dad. And that is what Jesus is saying about these people when it comes to their inner being, to the depth of who they are. He's saying, "You are like your father." And then Jesus goes on to tell them what their father is like. And it's not pretty. Jesus says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So, those here in front of Jesus who are against the truth are directly connected to Satan. Lies are his thing. He was the one who told lies right from the beginning. Those lies that led humanity to fall as human beings turned in rebellion against God. So the question, why do people lie? And the answer is because they're following Satan's ways. Satan is the source of lies. And here, at this point in John's gospel, the lies are particularly serious, extremely serious, because they are against ultimate truth. Jesus says later on in John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This lying by the Jewish leaders at this point in the story strikes at the core of the universe because it is an attempt to destroy the one with a capital O, this one who is critical for the well-being of the universe. This one who's come to reverse the curse and redeem people. They're striking at him with lies. They want to destroy him. Don't miss how ghastly this is. And this is why Jesus calls the devil a murderer. He lies in the garden. Those lies in the garden were to destroy humanity. They were designed for destruction. And now the lies of the religious leaders are an attempt to destroy the redemption plan. What I want us to see right now is that Jesus is saying the religious leaders are murderous liars. They are reflecting their father. So, why do people lie? Because they are acting according to Satan, to the devil. All lies have their root with Satan. And this truth should make us shudder. It should make us sick if we are believers. Because when we do lie, we are being like Satan. And we're not being like the children of God that we are. When Christians do sin in this way, our new nature in us, the Spirit of God in us, should grieve within us and should drive us to repent and put things right. Christians hate lying. We seek to put it to death. We repent of it. If we are compulsive liars, we need to ask whether God is our father rather than Satan. We need to ask whether we have any conscience about lying, because it's that conscience that shows we've got God's Spirit in us. It's that conscience that will tell us to whom we belong. So that's the first thing. Where do they come from? Where do lies come from? That's the first thing. Second thing is, I want us to consider how lies are murder. As we have seen, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. We've seen that his lies were designed to destroy those lies that caused humanity to fall at the beginning, such that without redemption, we are eternally destroyed. That was what Satan wanted. The world that is around us is going to go to hell. God in his mercy has made a way back. He's given grace so that all those who receive the gospel can be rescued from that eternal destruction. But the murderer did not want salvation to come. And so his children here, the religious leaders in John's gospel, plotted to destroy Jesus. It's all because Satan is a murderer. The opposition to Jesus, as you've seen in Matthew, the opposition to Jesus in the Gospels as well, across the Gospels, it's just wild. It's murderous. There's a destructive agenda. We've seen the destructive impact of the lies in the garden. We've seen it through the story in the Bible. Potiphar's wife, for example, telling lies about Joseph, accusing him of sexual assault in ancient Egypt. And then we see those kind of lies all the way through to here in the Gospel as we look at this story. And we see it in our society as well, all around us. Here's an example. Last year, a 21-year-old woman in Victoria was found guilty of falsely accusing a man of rape. She made false reports to the police between February and March of 2020. And this man was arrested twice on the basis of these reports. Here's what a newspaper says about her now being found guilty of lying. Police grew suspicious about her story after she supplied evidence in the form of text message screenshots, which she alleged to be from the man. The messages detailed the alleged sexual assault, but police noticed inconsistencies and later discovered that she had sent the texts to herself using a fake account. Her lawyer claimed mental illness and said she clearly was not thinking things through in a calm and measured way. No. She was lying. She was lying flatly. What she did was destructive. It's murderous. Imagine the shame that that man felt. Imagine for 2 years, what did his work colleagues think of him? What did his family think? What do they wonder about him? Lies are murderous. They destroy. They destroy us spiritually. They can destroy us physically. They destroy reputations. They are evil. They are deeply evil. We Christians need to be very careful not to lie. We need to be so very, very careful. Slander is often heard in churches. And slander is lying. It is when we say things about other people or a group or a party, things that are not true. Sometimes people say things that are plainly untrue. They know the thing is untrue. And they say them because they intend to destroy reputations. How can people like that confidently assert that they are Christians? But often people take part in slander without realizing it. It's carelessness. How many times have I heard people complain about another person or a group when they just don't have the facts? They simply don't know exactly how a situation came to be as it is. And yet they apportion wrong to one side. And then they talk about it with other people. And then a false narrative spreads and a reputation is damaged. What if you haven't heard the key details? What if you can't know the key details because some of the story is very private? What does Proverbs 18 and verse 17 say? This is an important proverb for us to remember. It says, "The one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him." Until the other side of the story comes. How many times have you heard someone complain about another person or another party and it just seems, wow, that other side has got it so wrong. How could they do that? And then you then hear more. You hear the other side's part of the story and a completely different picture forms. How many times has that happened to you? Surely you've experienced that at least once in your life. That's why that proverb is there. The proverbs speak to experience, life experience, things that actually happen. If you are not central to a matter, and if it is not your place to know the intimate details of the matter, do not cast judgment on it. Do not cast an opinion. It's not right. You might end up destroying a reputation because what you party to is a lie. If you do have a significant concern about something, do come and speak to the elders. I recently had someone express unhappiness to a group about a perceived issue going on in the church. And I was there when the person expressed this frustration. I asked them to talk to me a bit later on about it. And when this person told me what they were frustrated about, I said to them, "Do you know this and this and this?" And I filled in details that I was allowed to, that they didn't have. And this person, who is a godly person, admitted that they had it all wrong. I don't stand in judgment over that person because I too have not been careful in my life with withholding an opinion. But I have to say that from times, a number of times of banging my head in getting it wrong, I am more and more tuned to Proverbs 18, verse 17. Lies are murderous. We need to be careful. Falsehoods destroy. Now, thinking about the destruction of lying, I want us to look at another part of the Bible, which will come up on the screen. I want you to listen to Ephesians 4 in verse 25. Paul says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood," just lying, "let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor." And here's the reason why. "For we are members one of another." Why are we to put away falsehood? Why are we to speak truth? Because we are belonging to each other. If we let lies fester among us, we will break the one anotherness. We will break the unity. And so what I want us to see now, just from our second look, our second section, is that lies are murderous. And then lastly, I want us to consider the lies of our times. We live in a time of so much lying. I think in our day, it's more and more prevalent. It's everywhere. You know, the media often pushes narratives that are based on ideology. They want to push the ideology at the expense of truth. We find politicians manipulating truth for gain. Think about some of our recent court issues. The matter around George Pell. The matter around Brittany Higgins. These are massive court cases that fell apart because they were damaged by ideologues, political ideology, social ideology. They were damaged by that. Across the water in the United States, the story of Hunter Biden's laptop. The mainstream media played down what I thought was good journalism that said there's a problem here, there's something here. They played it down as fake news. But in recent times, they've backtracked on that. And so it goes on. We just don't know where truth is in our society. Lies and manipulation and truth suppression. This kind of thing is so bad for our society. I want to stop for a moment and turn to a different preacher. And I want to play a clip from Tim Keller as he talks about this in a sermon. Listen to Tim Keller about the terrible effects of lies. Thank you, Simon.
Nothing. Well, you don't have to imagine a society like that. We've had them. Eastern Europe and the communist countries recently collapsed, and all of the indications are they collapsed from the inside because of the internal rottenness of the fact that nobody trusted anybody. You couldn't believe your political leaders. You couldn't believe the journalists. You couldn't believe the scholars. You couldn't go to a psychiatrist. Me a human being, it's necessary for us to treat each other as humans. Imagine for a moment a society in which every political leader was expected by the people to lie. A society in which every business leader was expected by people to not honor contracts unless there was enough money in it. A society in which every academic was actually a fraud, and in which every preacher was a hypocrite. You couldn't have a society. There could be no commerce. There could be no family. There could be no academic life. There could be nothing. Well, you don't have to imagine a society like that. We've had them. Eastern Europe and the communist countries recently collapsed, and all of the indications are they collapsed from the inside because of the internal rottenness of the fact that nobody trusted anybody. You couldn't believe your political leaders. You couldn't believe the journalists. You couldn't believe the scholars. You couldn't go to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist was there to get rid of political activists. The journalist was there to spout the party line. The scholar couldn't really do scholarship. It had to fit in with the party line. Nobody trusted anybody. Informers were everywhere. And because nobody told the truth anywhere, you couldn't have a civilization. Life was brutalized. Instead of a community, you have a wolf pack.
We are people of the Lord. We reject lying. We seek to put it to death. The thing is, the culture around us increasingly is marinated in lies. It's just a way of life. We must beware that it does not seep into our way of life. We are people of the Lord. If we are redeemed people, then we belong to Jesus. We have been redeemed. We have been brought into the family of God. He is our Father. The father of lies is not our Father. And so we are not liars anymore. What should motivate us to put lying to death? Certainly the realization that lies are destructive. As we heard from Sim Keller, if we're given to lying, we cannot have a church, we cannot have a society, we cannot have a marriage. But more than that, what should motivate us is that it's not who we are. We have a new identity. Our Father is not the devil. Our Father is the Lord in heaven who has adopted us. Our brother is Jesus, the good King. If we really have that identity, then we will hate that old nature part of us that we do still struggle with. We will turn away from lies and we will seek to be people of truth. We are a repenting people because of who we are in Jesus. And so I ask you as we close now, whose child are you? Let's pray. The prayer that I'm going to close with is a prayer of confession. Because while we are children of the living God through what Jesus has done on the cross for us, the scriptures are very clear. We still have a struggle with our old nature. But because of who we are, we do hate that old nature. And so we are a people who are quick to confess. We are not perfect when it comes to truth. And so as I pray this prayer, if it is your prayer too, please say amen at the end. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today acknowledging our need of your grace and forgiveness. We recognize, Lord, that we have not always walked in your ways or spoken words of truth. We confess that we have, at times, deceived others and ourselves with words and actions that do not reflect your heart or your truth. Father, we are deeply sorry for the times we have chosen to lie rather than speak the truth. We repent for the times our words have caused pain or confusion, for the instances when we did not trust in your wisdom and sought to control situations through our own deceit. Help us, O Lord, to always choose truth over lies, love over deceit. Grant us the courage to be honest, even when it's difficult or uncomfortable. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Make us people of integrity, reflecting the honesty and transparency of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for all our transgressions, and cleanse us from our sins. Let your truth permeate every aspect of our lives. May we be set free by the truth of your word, and may we become instruments of your truth in a world that desperately needs it. Thank you, Father, for your enduring patience and your promise of forgiveness for those who turn to you in true repentance. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.